All right. But anyhow, we're very delighted to be here with Brother Elmore, and thank you for putting up with us. And God's blessing. We're going to have a time this week enjoying God's blessing. If you'll bring folks out that need to be saved, they'll get saved. If you bring folk out and get a hold of people that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you that need the Holy Ghost, you won't never get it sitting home. But if you get out here and get the revival, it'll get on you. Glory, and God will give you the... I'm going to try to preach heaven down. I'm going to try to preach in a spirit that will bring heaven to these altars, and God will visit us and touch us, and God will move. And if you're hungry, Jesus said, blessed are you. If you're thirsty, God said, blessed are you. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able. How many believe that God is able? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. God is abundantly able to save. God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What a statement of faith that this is, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I don't know what you need when you came to this service and walked through these doors, but God is able to supply and meet every need that walked in this building tonight. Not only is God able, but God wants to do it for you. He said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And so I just believe that God will touch our hearts tonight and help us to realize that He is able to make all grace move our direction and let things come our way. You see, there's times when we go against an adverse wind. There are times when we row against adversaries. There are times when we have tempestuous winds that come against us. But regardless of what the devil has brought against you, I want to tell you tonight, remember and memorize my text. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Oh, hallelujah. In spite of the devil, in spite of his kids, in spite of what may be going on in the world, now everything in this world is not going our direction. Everything's not going our way. There's some things not going our way. When you stop and realize it, that there's some things that don't go our direction. Natural man doesn't even go the way God wants to go sometimes. Hello? Amen. You just stop. I can prove this. Let me prove it. Now I want to tell you how much I appreciate you being here to pray tonight. I want to tell you how much I appreciate that and thank God for you. But I can tell you now that if we're going to have a potluck supper tomorrow night at 6, there'd been a better crowd here tomorrow night than there was tonight for prayer meeting. And that's not unusual. It's just the fact that natural man would rather eat than he would to pray. Hello? I said natural man would rather eat than he would pray. You just love to go to these church dinners where they have these great big, and every lady's got to put the finest dish. She just got a new recipe and she's got to have it there. I love these church dinners. I'm exhibit A, that they will not make you fat. I was fat before I ever went to a church dinner, but I want to tell you that now that's nothing to me but skin and bones, son. Just a long way between my skin and my bones. Did you break your arm? You did. Well, I feel sorry for you. But anyhow, aren't you? Me and him got to visit a while. You folks just sit back there. We got to talk this thing over. Because I happen to like boys. Did you climb a tree? You didn't. Okay, I'll find out later. But anyhow. You see, natural man's not going our direction. He likes T-bone steak. He likes roast beef. He likes baked potatoes. He likes the potato bar. He likes everything that goes along with it. And that's not bad. It's the fact is that natural man's not going with God. He's going against God. You get down to pray, and the devil will bring 50 things that come to your mind to keep you from praying that got to be done, and you put them off for a year now. But now the devil says, you better get up and get doing what you plan to do. And you have to get a hold of a natural man by the nape of the neck, and you get a hold of him and say, oh boy, you're going to pray. Or the devil have you up running around doing a half a dozen things to keep you from praying. Amen. I know. You say, well, Brother Prankle, you're a preacher. Does the devil get after preachers? You better believe he does. You can get and fall into a trap, and I know I've pastored for 28 years, and today, in today's society, when everybody's got to have a counselor, everybody's got to have a counselor. They got to go talk to somebody. Usually they don't want to. The truth, what they want to do is you to tell them what they want to hear, that everything they're doing is okay. And if you don't, they're mad at you and won't come back to church. Hello? And they go ahead and they say, well, I can't go back to church there. He knows too much about me. You know what I did? I made a rule in my church that if you're going to have counsel with the pastor, you had to go spend 30 minutes in the altar before you came to his office. And you know this lightened my counseling load over half? Hello? Because natural man don't want to pray about it. He likes to talk about it. He likes to tell all the gory details. He likes to go into all the thing like that and get somebody's sympathy, but he don't want to talk to God about it. You know what I found out about a bunch of those that went to the altar and prayed 30 minutes? When they got prayed through, they didn't need to talk to me. And did you know most of the things that people want to talk to preacher about, if they'd spend some time praying through, would already have the victory, and they know the answers. All they needed to get up and start doing what God told them to do in His Word. And if it's in His Word, you don't need counsel on it. You need to do it. Glory. Hallelujah. But you see, natural man's not always going our direction. Secular society's not always going our way. The secular society and the Holy Ghost-filled church. Revival church and secular society runs head-on. Cross direction. Very few communities are in the direction that'll bring a spiritual tide and a revival to it. They're living in a day today, and we're living in a humanist society. When they, all you are, and you it has a hopeless society. It has no hope. It has no future. It has no answer. It has nothing of this kind that has any answer in secular society. Not always going our way, and very seldom going our way. You have a hard time. When I pastored my last church up in Colorado, we need a sign out in front of the church. The city of Greeley has an ordinance in the city that you can't have a sign in front of a church over 4x8. Now, the bars can have one that's long as this auditorium and as high, and they can be flashing out there on the street. The saloons can have one. Hello? Every hellhole in town could have as big a sign as they wanted. But the church could only have a little one, and it couldn't stand up very high. And when you park, every church in Greeley, you go park your car there, and when the cars get in the parking lot, you can't tell what church it is. We wanted to put up, we had a beautiful building, seated 1,000 people, brand new edifice there, and we wanted to put up a sign. The zoning commission turned us down. They said, nope, you can't put up that sign. It's against city rules. We appealed to them again and came back, and they turned us down. And they said, the only alternative you've got is come to the city council. We went to the city council to have review from the city. They said, if the city council will vote for you, he said, then it's okay. We got up to the city council meeting, and they were all sitting up there, lined up there, looked like stuffed Cabbage Patch dolls, and they're sitting up there all going through this, and they asked if anybody wanted to speak for the church. I got up and I said, Your Honor, I went to the mayor, to the councilman, I said, I want to tell you folks something, that I am thankful that we've got a beautiful city in Greeley. I'm thankful that you've kept and you've had a hand and vision, and I bragged on them for I don't know how long about how great a job they've done. But I said, I want to tell you folks something, that our church needs a different kind of sign. Number one, we're the largest facility in town, and everybody in town has to know where it is, because this is where everything's happening. Some of them didn't like that. Then I said, there's a number two. We have such a lasting commodity, such satisfying people that are so satisfied. I said, I have people who come Easter and never come back till Christmas, and I don't want them to forget where the church is. I stepped down. They were all laughing. I just shut up and quit. They voted 6-0 to give us a sign. Well, thank God sometimes you can go against secular society. You see, one time I remembered when I was in Tucson. One of the young girls in the church came in. She was so down and out. She came into my office, moped in there. She had her lips stuck out like she was expecting a saxophone. Oh, she was sad. She came in. I said, Debbie, what's the matter? She said, Pastor, I've been so insulted. My faith is so insulted. Jesus is so insulted. She said, I am mad. I've been through everything I know to do. She said, there's a bunch of art called that out there at the library at the college I attend, put up on display in the library. It's life size. It insults my faith. It insults Jesus. It's blasphemy against God and everything. And said, I am so mad. Said, I have appealed to the library and said, they don't even know how it got there, but they called a meeting and it's found out as a young man that they were thinking about hiring as a professor and put it there, and he'd painted it and put it up. And so the library committee voted to keep it. She said, I appealed to the faculty. They voted to uphold the committee. I went to the president of the college, Mr. Harper, and said, he said he would have nothing to do with it. He washed his hands of it if they'd already taken there. And she said, I am so insulted, preacher. I don't know what to do. Would you go look at it and see if maybe I'm a kook? And so I promised her. I got my wife. We went out the library. When we walked out there in pictures a lot larger than that speaker, over 6 feet high, was each one of those pictures, four of them in a series called The Religious Series. They had a sign up. The Religious Series. And the first picture, you were looking through into a motel, a plate glass window. It said Bethlehem Inn, manger. And they're looking into the motel, and inside the motel was the figure of supposed to be Mary, who was nude, lying on the floor, giving birth to a baby that was 2/3 born, and the baby was in Santa Claus regalia with his hands up going ho, ho, ho. And old Joseph was an old hippie with a handful of cigars, and all the wise men and the shepherds standing around watching the baby be born. And when I saw that, I got redheaded in a hurry. The next picture was worse. It showed a big old rabbit, life-size, man-sized rabbit. Not a little rabbit, but a man-sized rabbit. Wearing a crown of thorns, carrying a cross. And a nude woman handing him some fruit. And the caption across the rabbit said, He died for our sins. I got mad and the hair began to stand up on the back of my neck. I not only redheaded, I was mad. I was insulted. Jesus is insulted. The third picture was worse. It showed Christ in bed with a nude woman. Across their body said censored, with a caption over the top that said, The Lord has come. And by the time I got through looking at the third picture, I was incensed and outraged. The fourth picture, I never did figure out the irony or the satire that was supposed to be in it by the artist. It showed Jesus on a pair of skis coming in on the water with a caption that said, He did it again in Miami Beach and walked on the water. I never did understand what they were trying to satirize on that. But you see, I went to the library and I said, Sir, who put that stuff up? Well, he said, I know there's a young lady that's very upset about this. Does she go to your parish? I said, no, sir, but she comes to my church. He said, well, I know she's very upset, and said, I want to tell you for the record, when the committee voted, I didn't vote. Don't you love them little wimpy, nimby, pimby little guys that are T-ringed, anemic, that are standing around and don't have enough? I'd like to take a broomstick right down through their head and make them a backbone. I didn't vote. Well, aren't you wonderful? Oh, I long for Jake Brinkle's toe that would give you, raise three boys. But anyhow, I said to him, sir, how long's that stuff got to stay? Oh, he said they voted it has to stay up for 2 weeks. I said, do you know that insults Christians? Well, yes, sir, I'm a Christian myself. You know, I didn't vote. I wanted to work on him a little. As far as I was concerned, he needed an attitude adjustment. But anyhow, he said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. I said, brother, there's something I can do. I said, we're on television here. Our church had a telecast every Sunday afternoon. I said, according to the Nielsen ratings, we have the number one gospel telecast in the city of Tucson, Arizona. And I said, if they're not lying to me, I don't think the citizens of Pima County want that kind of rot stuff up on the wall in their library or their college. And I said, I aim to find out, sir. You'll find out Sunday when I get on television. Well, now, Reverend, we don't want any trouble. Oh, it's amazing. Those guys make me... But anyhow, you say, but you're supposed to be a Christian. I think Jesus would want to do something. But anyhow, I remember a time when he took a whip and run some out of the temple. There's time to get mad. Not at your brothers and sisters and Jesus. We need to get mad at the devil. I went out of there. I said, you're going to find out, sir, if I've got any watchers and viewers out there on the telecast. I went straight to the television station. I was due to tape. I got out there and I walked in, and since we'd got number one rating in the city of being watched, the television station wanted to do all kinds of things for us. They wanted to build new sets. They wanted to do all kinds. When I walked in and the ratings came out, we were number one gospel program. They came and met me at the front door and pumped my hand till I thought it was a pump handle. Always before, when I walked in, it was like getting a hold of a cold one on a frosty morning, you know. Or five bologna sausages. Hello, little man. But when we rated number one, oh, they smiles. They love that. I said, forget the sets. Forget everything. Get me a stand out there. Get all you need is one cameraman today. I'm going to preach. And I started preaching. I called the president of the college, who had refused to have anything to do with it. I called him Pilate, who washed his hands. I called the faculty the Sanhedrin, which denounced and crucified Jesus. I called the committee, the high priest, and his bunch. And when I got through, I called the artist, Judas, on the telecast. Steam must have been rolling out each ear. When I got through, all the brass of the television station was in my studio, standing there. The news team was there. The president, the vice president, the head of sales, my sales representative was standing there. And I didn't know. I thought they'd all gather together to kick me off the air. When I got through preaching, I said, now, gentlemen, I want to tell you something. You may kick me off the air for preaching this, but you'll have to do it after Sunday because Sunday's program's already paid for and this is going to run. The president, Gene Adelstein, walked out with his hand out and he said, Reverend, we didn't come out to throw you off the air. We just come out to hear you, what you have to say. We're going to send the news team out tonight. It'll be on 10 o'clock news. And it's like you say, we'll run editorials on it. We're looking for this kind of material. I thought, well, I'm not off of television. But then I cheated. I called the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Tucson, and I said, sir, you need to go out to the school and see what they're doing to Mary. And his secretary said, we will, sir. I called two fighting Baptist preachers. And I said, you ought to go out and look and see. They said, rest assured we will. That's the first thing we'd agreed on since I've been in town. Sunday rolled around. The telecast was released. Monday went by. Tuesday afternoon, little Debbie come hopping into my office, and she was all smiles, and she was so happy. I said, Debbie, what's wrong? You seem to be happy today. She said, Pastor, the art's down. Now, you had to have a great imagination to call it art. I said, I played dumb. I said, I thought it had to stay up 2 weeks. She said, that's what they said. But ever since the telecast yesterday afternoon, they've had a file of people coming through, and every one of them got mad like we did. And today they called the janitors and said, get it off the wall. We got to carry on a school here. We can't have this. You don't have to take everything the devil's spitting out today. We can draw a line and say, devil, no farther. Why? Because God is able. God is able. The government's not always going our way. Hello? I said the government's not always going our way. We've got a Supreme Court. A bunch of old guys that can just barely find the bench to sit on it. They couldn't find it if they didn't have a limousine to take them down to the building. And they just dawdle in and get in there and sit down and say, what's happening? And they're making decisions for America today. They're going to have to stand before God and give an account for 15 million babies that have been slaughtered and killed. And they'll have to stand before God and give an account for the aborted children that never had, and the children that cry that never had a chance will stand in judgment and cry against those 9 men that made that decision in 1974. And they're going to have to stand and give an account, because that's not the way God's going, is to kill our babies. Now, I want to thank God for it. They made a good decision the other day, and I'll have to give them credit. They did tell the state down in one of the southern states that you can take a stand against homosexuality. And I commend them for that. I thank God for an attorney general. I know the ACLU don't like him, and I found out when they didn't like him, I did. Hello? Because I knew if they didn't like him, he was right. But Attorney General came out with a stand and a report from the president's office that stated and said that pornography was a detrimental, harassing thing upon our children and upon our homes and upon our kids today, and it has a devastating effect. And the people that are liberals and the people that are modernists and the people that are humanists and the people that are atheists and the people who stand today and want to promote this and be purveyors of pornography and put it upon our children, and they've got it on your television set, and the day and the hour of the satellite dish and the day and the hour of cable puts a double responsibility upon a Christian home to keep that rock gut stuff and to keep play boy and penthouse and keep that stuff out of your home and put a guard at the door that says it shall not enter, because if it does, it'll ruin your kids. Hello? Boy, I'll tell you, I imagine the kids will look at me. Some of the kids go home and they ask their mom, said, why does that guy stay mad for an hour? Well, I want to tell you tonight, are you left-handed? Thank God, you can use your right hand. If you was left-handed, now I'm red-headed and freckle-faced and left-handed, and just thank God there's nothing else wrong with me. But me and this boy have to visit every once in a while. You folks just sit out here. But anyhow, you see, the government's not always going our direction. Many times they reward wrong and punish the right. Did you hear me? And it's time today that we stand against it. And I thank God. Now, I want to thank God tonight. You say, have you always agreed with him? No, I never have always agreed with anybody. Me and my wife don't always agree. She usually wins, but we... but anyhow, she's smooth at it. And she makes me think I liked it. All you married men say, amen. You know what I mean. But thank God for a president that'd like to put prayer back in school. Thank God for an attorney general that'll take a stand against pornography. Thank God for a Supreme Court the other day that took a stand against homosexuals having rights. Trying, you know, God didn't make Adam and Steve. Last I read the book, it says Adam and Eve. If it'd been Adam and Steve, you and I, neither one would have got here. Hello? You see, it's not an alternate style of life, young people, that you're being taught in school. It's sin. I said it's sin. And they need to get saved. They need to get prayed through. They need their minds cleansed and washed. And they need delivered from a spirit that puts them in bondage. And many of them are crying to get out and trying to get out, but don't know the way. And the way is to an altar of prayer and the blood of Jesus Christ and the stripes of Calvary will still set people free from their sins. Can you say amen? I got to hurry on. I can't hardly stand long-winded preachers, so I'm going to move. But you see, the government's not always going our way. Sometimes our family's not even going our way. Hello? There's times when the family's not even going God's way. And they break your heart. See, there's two things can break your heart more than anything else. Your own family of flesh and blood that God gave you. I want all you men to look at your wives. And just think how great they are. And all you women, look at your husband and think how great he is in spite of what you said about him. Because that's the only relative you get to pick out. Rest of them you're just stuck with. I'd trust that woman's judgment around the world. She chose me. She's smart. She picked me out. Rest of your relatives, you're just stuck with them. I'm the baby boy. My two older brothers, they was here when I got here. I'm a victim of circumstances. Just this evening when I missed the turn coming down here on Bell and I went around the store and came back, my wife said, Jake, to my dad, said, he's stubborn. Said, where'd he get it? My dad said, I don't know. I still got mine. I learned it from my older brothers. But not always. Not always is your family going the way that they ought to be going. I had a boy who was going the way the devil wanted him to go. I had a boy who was breaking my heart. There's only two that I said that can break your heart that much. One's your own family and the other's your church family. Because that's the only place you love anybody as much as you do. And that's in church or in your own home. And it don't hurt you. You look at it, you feel empathy, and you feel sorry for people when you see an accident in the paper. But when it was my own brother, and I saw him sitting there with a blanket over his head, my heart cried out. Why? Because that was my brother. And that's why you can get hurt in church. Because that's the only place outside of your own family you can love as much as you do anywhere else. The people down at Joe's Bar and Grill, when you run out of money and can't buy any more drinks, they'll kick you out. But down at the church, you can hit the altar, pray through, and there'll be a half a dozen folks hug your neck, whether you got a dime in your pocket or not. Glory to God. You may not have food on your table, but folks in church will help you get some food on your table. They'll do things for you. They love you. But that's why sometimes in church we have problems and it hurts too bad because we love each other. We don't love each other, we need another trip to the altar. This is my commandment that you what? Love one another. Woo, hallelujah. But there's no place like going to church house and finding God's people who love God and love each other. If a church loves God and loves each other, it'll grow. I said if a church loves God and loves each other, it'll grow because people in the world are starving to death to find a place where love is. Hallelujah. But you see, God's able to turn your family around. I said God's able to turn your family around. You say, Brother Branca, with all these things that may not be going our way, what do we have going our way? Let me tell you. We've got God's will abounding toward us. For God is, say it with me, able. Say it again, able. Say it with me, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Woo, hallelujah. It doesn't make any difference to me whether the Republicans, the Democrats, or the boll weevils win in November. God is my source, and I'm not depending on a political party. I'm depending on King Jesus, and He is able to make all grace abound toward me. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about the government. Oh, I care. I like to be a good citizen. But I want to tell you something. It's not the last straw. God is the last word, and He's able, and He's put His will towards you and behind you and behind His church. And He said, this is my church, and I will build it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And there's not enough devils in hell, out of hell, or anywhere else today that can stop him, because God's church will march on. I said the church is triumphant. Can you say amen? God's church will march on with victory. Hallelujah. He said, I will pray the Father. He will send you another comforter. When God has willed it that we have the power of the Holy Ghost for these last days, we're going to have Holy Ghost power. Amen. I will be thou made whole. When God has willed it, brother, disease, cancer, tuberculosis, emphysema, whatever it may be, cannot stop it. It's God's will that you be touched by the hem of His garment and you be made whole. Oh, hallelujah. God has made it and put His will. And if God's put His will behind it, it'll go. Can you say amen? Glory. But not, God not only just put His will behind it, but God sent His Son to enforce it. Hallelujah. God is the only one. We sing a song. He's the only one that sent His Son. He's the God who cannot fail. Hallelujah. He sent His Son because He loved you and He cared for you. And He died for you. And He shed His blood for you. He went to Calvary for you. And He did it before you ever knew you needed it. Because He paid the price for your salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. God has sent His Son in these last days. In the fullness of time, the Scripture declares, God sent His Son. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? Aren't you glad there's a saving name? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. There's no other name that's a healing name than the name of Jesus. There's no other name that will come and return again in glory for us but the name of Jesus. And Jesus will keep His word and keep His promises. I was reading the other day about a lady whose family was going in the wrong direction. Her daughter had run off and left home. She'd gone to England. She'd completely left the country. Never called home, never wrote. Her mother was a poor woman. She couldn't afford an airplane ticket. She couldn't afford that. She caught a ride on a freight boat, went across England, took a blown up oversized picture of her daughter, went down to the red light district, went down to the Bowery, went down to every bar and hell hole there was in London, in the lower side of London, went into every place and held the picture of that girl up to the bartender and said, have you seen this girl? Finally, after a search of many, many days and hours, one bartender said, yes, I recognize her. She comes in here quite regular. She said, sir, my girl don't want to see me, or she knows where I am. But I came to bring this picture, and I would like to leave a message and pin it on your wall. And when she comes in, would you tell her that I've left a note for her here? Bartender said, sure. She put that girl's picture and a note on the wall. Went out, left, and returned back to the United States. A few nights later, that young lady came into that bar, saw her own picture on the wall, screamed, and said to the bartender, "Who put that picture on the wall?" She said, he described her, a little gray-haired lady who was broken and bent, and said she left it here, and said she left a note, and said, "For you to read it, please." The girl went over and grabbed the note off of the picture, unfolded it, and it just simply said this message: "You can come home anytime." The girl broke, began to weep and cry, came back to the United States and back home to her mother. I read that and I thought, oh God, I'm glad Jesus came. And he penned a note and he put it in every one of the books in the Bible: "Son, you can come home anytime." Every book says the same message: "Backslider, you can come home anytime. Sinner, you can come home anytime. Jesus is calling." But the third thing God's got going our direction is the glorious power of the Holy Spirit. Woo, hallelujah. God's will, God's Son, and God's Holy Spirit is going our way. Hallelujah. It's going for us tonight. You say, "Well, I'd live for God, but I can't live an overcoming life." Preacher, you can by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You can. You say, "Well, I couldn't live it." You can if you'll get and stay full of the Holy Ghost. You'll live an overcoming life. You don't have to hide behind the fact, "Well, I couldn't live it if I came home to God." The power of the Holy Ghost makes the difference. Glory. It may make you act funny. It will give you joy. It'll make you happy. It'll give you a thrill. And it won't give you a hangover the next morning, because the Holy Ghost is reality. The rest of this old world's joy suds is just simply a false trip. But thank God the Holy Ghost will give you glory in your soul, and give you a clear conscience in the morning, and will give you a clear conscience toward God. And when the trumpet sounds, you'll be ready to be ushered home, because the Holy Ghost wants to help you make it. Can you say amen? How many found out the Holy Ghost will help you make it? Ooh, hallelujah. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that'll do something in your heart. Do something in your life. I promised to let you out by 12 o'clock, Los Angeles time. Well, how many had settled for Tucson at the same time? But anyhow, Albuquerque. Get a few more on that. All right. Well, at least they're just 1 hour behind. But anyhow, we'll look into God's Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to get the directive that God wants for this week. We've been praying and believing God for this week that God will visit us and pour out His Spirit upon our lives, believing God for great things to happen. The Lord willing, tomorrow night, I'm going to be preaching on why some folk never come to revival on Monday. Hello? Maybe I ought to preach that tonight. Why some folk never come on Monday night. Have you ever wondered? Well, I did. 27 years of pastoring, I wondered about why some folk never showed up on Monday night. We've got some folk that never come on Sunday night either. You'll find out about them tonight. In fact, I may talk about them this morning. But anyhow, we'll look into God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. First of all, let us read.